Mentioned, and there is a story that goes with the shiur. This past Shabbat, Shabbat Bereshit, and you'll notice, even though we're in the week of Noach, the shiur is about something very central in Parshat Bereshit. And I could not help but give this shiur, because this past Shabbat, as you all know, we had our youngest son's bar mitzvah in Alon Shvut, and a dear friend and teacher of mine and of other members of the family, Rav Elchanan Samet, who is one of the foremost teachers of Tanakh today, and who lives in Kfar Etzion, walked over with his wife early in the morning and joined us for the Kiddush. He davened in Kfar Etzion, joined us for the Kiddush, and then gave a shiur in honor of Kobi's bar mitzvah. The shiur was, you know, I expected maybe a 15-minute something. It was a regular Rav Samet hour and 10 minutes or so shiur, which was unbelievable. He even prepared handouts, and he came out, and it was just really moving. I really didn't know where he was going with it. He started off with something a little bit cutesy. He said, you know, Kofi, I heard that you read very nicely. I'm sure you did. So now you will hear the words with an Israeli accent. Cute. He actually didn't hear that Kofi had a fairly strong Israeli accent. It's good. Anyways. And you'll see from the title that it's that one word that we're all familiar with, which has Chomer LeDrush Ara Shamayim, so much opportunity for drushes. Ayeka, where are you? God is asking man at every point, where are you in your life, etc. We're going to look at this really from a chat perspective, and you can see something quite startling in here. If I were to ask you, just prima facie, reading Sefer Bereishit, Parshat Bereishit, where is the ideal place for man to live, based on what you read in Parshat Bereishit? What's the ideal place for man to live? Gan Eden, right? And when man messes up, he is exiled from Gan Eden. Sounds like that's some sort of a punishment. And Gan Eden would be a place, theoretically, to try to return to, except that there is the sword, the fiery sword, etc., that keeps him. Well, let's see if that's exactly the case. All I did is copy the chapter, Perek Bet, starting from Pasuk Dalet till the end. And the back is just translation, nothing fancy. Ela totot shamayim v'aretz bihi baram. So we're just going to read through and ask some questions along the way. B'yom b'osot Adonai Elohim eretz v'shamayim. All right, this is famously known as the second creation story. V'chol siach hasadeh ter mi v'aretz. There was not yet any bush, any vegetation. V'chol esav hasadeh ter mi tzmach, no grass. Why? Ki lo imtir Adonai Elohim al haaretz. First of all, God had not made it rain. Now, by the way, what does that tell you about the terrain in this land that we're talking about?
Dry.
It's dry, and it needs rain for irrigation. Okay, good. V'adama ayin lavorat ha'adama. And in the meantime, there's also no man there to work the land. Now, what is man's job to work the land? Meaning, there's nothing that's grown yet because there's two things missing. There's no rain yet, and there's no man yet. So the rain, we know, is there to fertilize the land so stuff can grow. What's man's job? To cultivate the land, to plow it, etc., work with it. Okay.
But no life can sustain itself without water.
All right, so this is where we're starting. The Eid Yalemin Aretz, okay, and then a cloud comes up, a mist comes up. Vishgad, Kol Pnei Adama. In other words, now rain for the first time. Like Bill says, you need water to start. Vayitzer Adonai Elohim et Adam. And then what's the first thing God creates? Now notice, in this scenario, unlike the first story, in this scenario, we start with a parched earth and nothing growing on it. And the first thing that happens is God makes it rain. And then God forms man. Afar min adama v'pach v'apat mishmat chayim, blows the spirit of life into him, v'hi adam l'nefesh chaya. And man now is alive, whatever that may mean. V'yita, and then something new. So by the way, at this point, what is man's job? Where is man's place?
Gan Eden.
Really? Where have we got you in that? Right? At this point, where is man's place? So let's not answer it yet, but just park the question. Now, Vayita Adonai Elohim began Ve'edin Mekedem. Now what does God do next? He plants a garden. Now a garden here implies what sort of growth?
Food.
Trees, as opposed to vegetation. Before we have grass and vegetation, now we have trees, and we'll see that there's trees. That's what a gun is, right? And it's in a place called Eden, which is to the east of wherever man is. Vayasem sham et adam asher yatzar. What did he then do? He put man in there, which means where did man start? Outside of there. And outside of there was regular earth that needed water and needed cultivation, everything else. And then he plants a garden and he puts man in there. Let's hear about this garden. What does God make grow in the garden? All sorts of beautiful trees. Nechmad l'mareh, don't forget that phrase. Attractive to the eye and pleasant to eat. Ve'etz ha'chayim betoch hagan, there's some sort of tree in the middle called Etz ha'chayim. Ve'etz hadat tovara.
So these trees and are planted trees. Already fully grown and in bloom.
We don't know. Maybe he plants them and then they grow. But point is that these trees all exist. Now these are trees. Well, and now more critically, v'nahar yotzei mi'eden. There's a river that goes out from Eden. V'hashkot et hagan. In other words, wherever this place called Eden is the source of a big river. The river comes and irrigates the garden.
So, I'm confused.
No, let me just go through that.
So, okay. Man is created before the vegetation of the trees, right?
Right.
So how in the world does man survive on what? Or is that man didn't need food, didn't need water, didn't need anything?
Different I don't know.
Man.
No, I don't know. I mean, the first thing that happens here is that it rains, and then after it rains and stuff starts to grow, man is created, and man's job is to work that stuff. Do I know what this means?
Misunderstood. No, wait, man was wait. Created first and then the vegetation.
Where is that?
I misunderstood.
No, okay.
First
good.
The vegetation, then man.
Well, first it rains, and then man. Does the vegetation grow first or not? Or does man grow? Man is created. I also don't know. Man is created. What does that mean? Is he created as a baby? Is he created as an adult? Chazal says he's created as an adult. I'm not sure, but this is where we are. Umishami pared vayala arbar Hashem, meaning the river starts in Eden. It irrigates the garden, and then it splits from there into four river heads. All right, so now, where is this garden? I got no idea. But I do have some idea about where these rivers go. Let's read. Shem ha'echad Pishon. Now, I don't know what the Pishon is, but I got a clue here. Hu ha'soveh v'kol eretz ha'chavila asher sham ha'zahav. It surrounds some sort of land which is gold. There's all sorts of beautiful minerals to mine there, gold and other minerals to mine in this place. Where is this place? We'll figure it out in a minute. Sheni Gichon. What does Gichon mean? Because Gichon is also the name of the spring in Yerushalayim. Gichon means it shoots forward. So we're getting a sense here of rivers that are powerful and mighty. Hu asovevit kol eretz Kush. Where's Kush? Kush, Ethiopia. So which river are we talking about here? It seems fairly clear. Which river is it that goes from Ethiopia and through the Sudan and ultimately empties out in the Mediterranean? It's the Nile. Right? Now, these two we know very well. The Tigris. Ashur. So it sounds like these four rivers that we're talking about are connected to two parts of civilization, two cradles of civilization that we're very familiar with, which are
the Euphrates
and, meaning Mesopotamia and Egypt. And what do we know about Mesopotamia and Egypt? Both of them are river-fed, which means that rain is not a problem, rain is not an issue. And that vegetation grows because all you have to do, like it says in Sefer Dvarim, is just take some of the Nile and dig a channel off it, or take from the Prat or one of the channels that crisscrosses the Prat and the Chidekel and draw a channel off it, and you got water. Now, So first we heard about the garden. He plants all the trees. There's rivers coming out that irrigate the garden and go from there throughout the world. And then God puts Adam in Gan Eden. What does that mean? What does he have to do?
Well,
to work it, but working it doesn't seem to be very much. He doesn't have to irrogate it because there's irrigation there.
So
maybe it's taking the trees, harvesting. So maybe it means l'shomra, to keep it in good order, you know, to keep it looking nice. We don't know. We honestly don't know. We don't have a clue.
Is that connected to the shomer of Shabbat?
It doesn't seem to be. I don't know. Vayitzav Adonai Elohim al Adam l'emor. And now God gives man a command. All right, which, by the way, is a very strange thing. Man is living outside. There's stuff growing. There's rain. We have no idea how long any of this takes, even from the perspective of the story. And then he puts him into Gan Eden, and the first thing he says to him, which is, Mikol Eitzagan Achol Tochel. What does that mean? Eat from all the trees. Me'eitzadat tovara lo tochel imenu. From that tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it. Because the day that you eat from that, you're going to die. Now, here we come into one of the real big conundrums of this whole story, which is man tempted to eat from this tree? If he's tempted to eat from the tree, that means that he's already got temptation in him before he'd eat from the tree. If, on the other hand, he's not tempted and he just ate from the tree because whatever reason, then how can you hold him accountable? In other words, one way or the other, eating from the tree can't have the impact that we think it has. Let's see. Vayomar Adonai Elohim, lo tov hayot ha'adam levado, esa lo ezer kenegdo. It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helpmeet. What does he do? What does he do as a result of this? God says, I don't want man to be alone. I want to make him a helper. What does he do?
Creates a woman.
Right, so he doesn't. Vayitzer Adonai Elohim min adamah kol chayat ha-sadeh ben kol of ha-shamayim. He creates all the animals and all the birds. Vayavel Adam lirot ma-yikra lo. And he brings them all to man to see what man calls them. V'chol asher yikra lo Adam nefesh chaya u'shmo. Whatever man calls him, that's its name. Seems to be that God is looking for a partner with Adam, and Adam gives the animals all functional names. Doesn't seem necessarily as a partner, but as something to be used. All right, perhaps. He still did not find a partner. What happens? Right, famously, he puts man to sleep and does the thing. He takes out a tselah, a rib or a side from him. And he builds it into a woman, brings the woman to Adam. Sorry, this time she is a bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Right, this should be called an isha because she's taken from an ish. Right, a very famous play on words because ish and isha are from totally different roots. But it's a cute little... What? No. And this is, let's say, like an editorial comment saying, therefore, man must leave his parents and cling to his wife. His wife is really part of him, and become one. And then this part of the story, this really half of the story, ends with the statement that man and woman are naked and have no shame. So now, what time of life is this? I don't care how physically, how biologically old they are, but emotionally or psychologically, how old are Ishvi Isha? They're like babies. Babies who have no sense of nakedness and sexuality, and it doesn't mean anything to them, and then they got no shame. Right? Okay. Good. Bill, what do you want to ask?
Parents. There were no parents.
Right. Okay.
But
we all know that there are no parents.
Right. So right. What was the context that you mentioned parents?
I didn't. Now, it's a play on words, because arum means both naked, and arum, which is a totally different word, means clever.
You leave the parents and you cling to the wife.
Yes, I said that's an editorial comment later on.
Later.
Remember, the Torah is not given in
right,
in
right, right, right,
it's given in Har Sinai. Mikol chayata sadeh asher asad unai Elohim. So the Nachash was more clever than all of the animals made. Vayomar leisha afki amar Elohim lo tochlu mikol etzagan. What does the Nachash do? The Nachash says to Chava, why Chava? Why the Isha? It's not called Chava yet. Why does he speak to the Isha? Because she never heard the command. She didn't hear it. God told Adam. And we assume that Adam then told something to his wife, but unclear what he told her. What's the Nachash say? God said you can't eat from any of the trees. Right? We're allowed to eat from the trees. But that tree that's in the middle, we cannot allow to eat from or touch, because you might die. Says you're not going to die. God knows that the day you eat from that, you're going to have your eyes opened.
So why would God put a tree in the garden to
begin with? Vitem keluhim. Wait, I'll promise I'll answer it. Vitem keluhim yodei tov v'ra. This is the statement. What does the snake say? God knows that if you eat from that tree, what's going to happen? You will have your eyes open and you'll be like God. Yodei tov v'ra. What does that mean?
Good and evil.
That you will know good and evil. Now, by the way, if he wanted to say you'll be like God, he could have said you'll be like God and you'll be able to fight God. Or you'll be like God and you'll be able to create and destroy worlds. Or you'll be like God and you'll be able to stand up to him. Instead, what's the statement he makes? You'll be like God who knows good and evil. And after all, what's the tree they're not supposed to eat from? Exactly. Good. So now we've got to figure out what's happening here. What is... Yeah.
It's interesting that it says Kiyodea Elohim Kibiyama. That God knows. Why is it only God knows that?
No, the point is that why did God, he's saying, why did God tell you not to eat from it? Because God doesn't want you to have the same knowledge he has.
So why does God put a tree in the garden?
No, it's Bill, let me finish. I'll get to it.
Because you know,
I know why
God
put
on the day
the
that you eat it, you're
going to
be like God. It's a very strange
because
construct.
She doesn't know that. And he doesn't know that. The snake is talking to her. And he's saying the reason God told you not to do it is not because of any. I think it's because he doesn't want the competition, as it were. But tell her how he shot her. What does the woman see?
You're assuming that he never told her?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying he must have told her something, but evidently he didn't tell her very clearly because she thought you're not supposed to touch it.
And why would God only communicate to the man and not the eat?
Because he told him before she was created. Now it's his job to pass it on to her. Just read the story.
Or don't talk to your wife.
Vatera ha'isha, ki tov ha'etz the ma'achal, v'chi ta'avahu la'inayim, v'nachman ha'etz la'askil. Now notice what's described here. What does the woman see? The tree is beautiful. The tree is attractive. The tree is creates lust. But notice these are the same exact descriptions that we had in the beginning when it said what God created. It's not like she sees anything different. What do we hear? We hear that God put all sorts of beautiful trees that are attractive to look at and that are pleasant to eat. So that's nothing new. She eats from it. And she gives it to her husband. Now, the way we typically read this is somehow she gets seduced, which of course implies some level of corruptibility, which implies some sort of what we'd call Yetzer Hara. And then she, in order to cover it up or whatever it is, then brings him into it. That's what we think.
You have a problem.
But the problem, of course, is of the cart and the horse. Or the chicken and the egg, really. What happens as a result? Their eyes are opened up. Then they realize that they're naked.
Well, what would be the time frame between...
Let me finish. I'll take the questions. So what's the first thing they do? So there's all these beautiful trees. The tree that has evidently the biggest leaves is a fig tree. So they go to the fig tree, they take leaves from the fig tree, and they stitch or they make some sort of a thing to cover up their erva. By the way, they hear God walking, whatever that means, and they hide. Where do they hide? Where do they hide?
Somewhere in the garden.
No, b'toch etzagan, meaning... They hide in the tree, meaning right behind or next to the tree that they ate from. Right? Vayikra Adonai Elohim el Hadam. So God calls them. Famous question. Vayomer lo, Ayeka, where are you? Vayomer kocha shamati vagan. Vayira kerom anochi vayechave. So he said, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid. Vayom migi lucha keromata. He said, who told you you're naked? Meaning,
and when I left, when I left, said naked, is it to be ashamed of if you don't have any? Not what the knowledge all of a sudden tells you that the human body.
That's what we're getting to. We're getting to that exactly. So now, just a little patience. All I ask. Now, when I last left you, God said, you and she were naked, no shame. Meaning, nakedness didn't mean anything to you. Suddenly, I come back and I find you covering up and embarrassed and ashamed. So who told you that there's anything there? And then he says, did you eat from that tree? Now again, we have the same problem with the chicken and the egg. Is there something wrong with eating from the tree? That means they already had temptation and corruptibility. If that's the case, then the tree wasn't the thing that caused that. On the other hand, if they weren't doing something wrong by eating from the tree, then why did they get slammed for it? It's a very famous thing. Man starts already with his passing the buck. She passed it on to the snake. So you're going to have your legs cut off, you're going to crawl, you're going to eat dirt. There'll be permanent enmity between you and the woman and humankind. Okay. Well, Haisha Amar. Harbar beits vonech veheronech. I'm going to give you lots of pain. Batsiv til bivanin. Childbirth will be very difficult. And you will have a desire to be with your husband and he will rule over you. Now, uladam amar. So very carefully to what he says. Because we're accustomed to looking at this in one particular way, I'm going to suggest, and this is not my own, this is what Rav Samet suggests, is to shift the prism a little bit and look at it differently. You're going to see something very interesting. Uladam amar ki shamata the kol ishtacha. You ate from the tree. What does that mean? This is the part I really want to get to because this will shed light on the whole thing. What's the result of Adam eating from the tree? What does that mean? The land is cursed because of you. What does that mean it's cursed? You will eat from it only with great pain. Your whole life. You're going to end up growing thistles. And then you'll eat from the grass. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. Until you return to the earth, because that's where you came from. You came from dirt, you go back to dirt. Alright? In the meantime, Adam gives his wife now a new name, Chava, because she's the mother of all living beings. And God then gives them more proper clothing. And interesting question: if man's a vegetarian, so how is he making the leather clothes? Okay. Then God turns around and says, "Man knows good and evil." Now he may want to take from the Yitzchayim and live forever. What does God do? What does God do? He sends them out of Gan Eden for what purpose?
So they can't get to the land.
That's not what it says. What's the purpose? To work the land. Which land? The land he was taken from. In other words, we've gone back to the beginning of the story. We've gone full circle to the beginning of the story.
Wait, he took them out to work the land?
Takes them out to work the land from where he was taken.
Okay.
Right? And he sends him out. And he makes it so man can't come back. Man cannot come back. We are accustomed to thinking that Gan Eden is where man should be. The Gan Eden represents the ideal of creation, of man being in this very innocent state of almost infantile innocence, and of having everything taken care of for him, and the rivers are irrigating everything, and there's beautiful trees there. It's just to stay away from one tree, and then he can be happy forever. And as a result of her sin and his sin, She gets cursed with the curse of childbirth, and he gets cursed with the curse of working land hard, and then gets sent out of the garden. Or maybe let's say it a little differently. He gets cursed with the curse of having to work the land hard with sweat, and then gets sent to a land where that's what you have to do. Maybe the story is actually should be seen in the opposite way. You notice that at no point in this story is the word chet, pesha, avon, merit, any word that indicates that man sinned
except
mentioned here. What?
Arura.
No, that's not man's sin. That's something else.
That's the result.
Maybe not. That man, at no point, is this called an onesh. I'm punishing you with this. What does God say? This is what you did, now this is the reality. Let's think about how this plays out. Go back to the very beginning. Where is man created? Man is created on earth that is parched, that needs rain, that without rain can't grow, and man's job is to work the land. That's what man's supposed to be. Call it Eretz Yisrael, if you will. Eretz Yisrael is a land, unlike Mitzrayim, and unlike Bavel, where you need rain. And if it doesn't rain, it's parched. And it's very hard to make it work, the land. That's where man is supposed to be. Then Hashem plants a garden, and the garden has rivers flowing through it and watering it and going throughout the world to the areas that we know of as lush river areas. And there's beautiful trees there. Everything's perfect. And man is in this simplistic, kind of harmonious, naive kind of environment.
And what would God plan B for man if man did not eat from the tree?
I'm honestly going to answer that. Every person goes through a period in their life which is infancy. There's no escaping it. There's also no escaping the fact that at a particular point in life we are no longer infants. It may be at age 6 or 7 or 10. But at some point, become aware of a lot of things. Could be the age of 3. And there's a very important point that we all know, which is you can never go back. Psychologists will tell you that people spend a good part of their lives trying to get back and recapture that age of innocence. But you can't do it. So let's look at this story, perhaps, from a different perspective. Man is created in order to work the land. His job is to work hard land with thistles. Cursed land, meaning land is not wet. His job is to work that. And his job is to populate the world. And populating the world involves pain. Raising children is not easy. Raising children is not snap your finger. It's a lot of hard work. Childbirth is at the beginning of that. It never ends. However, what is man given at the very beginning of his existence? A little period of simplicity, a little period of infancy. When is man ready to leave? Man is ready to leave the minute he decides to say no to the authority. We see it without exception. Every kid, every child grows up, and at some point in that growing up, says no. It could be a defiant no, it could be a quiet no to some authority figure, usually parents, sometimes it might be a system. And it's a way of asserting independence. It's a way of saying, I have my own identity, and you can't control me. It's human nature. So if Samuel suggests is don't look at the tree as being the cause of man's suddenly having his eyes opened. Eating from the tree was the proof that man's eyes had been opened. In other words, the fact that man chose to violate the command was a statement of saying, man is now a moral agent. Man is now standing on his own 2 feet, which means what's the time for man to do? It's time for man to go back to where he needs to go to. He had to do his work, which is to cultivate the cursed land, not to have everything given to him. And on a national level, you can see this as a model. And this is how I prefer to read it. I prefer to read the Gan Eden story as being a story, because who first hears this story? Bnei Yisrael and Har Sinai. This is the story of being in Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim called by when Lot looks at Mitzrayim, at Sodom? What does he say? Sodom looks like Kigan Adonai Keretz Mitzrayim. It looks like Gan Eden, like Eretz Mitzrayim. And Bnei Yisrael have just left that. They long for it, but they've left it. And they've left it for a midbar. And left it for a place where you have to find water. And they're coming to a land where you're going to have to pray for water. And so the model of leaving Gan Eden to a life of maturity and responsibility and challenge and conflict with your environment, which is what it's really all about, is a necessary stage. Where is man's real place? Man's real place is on the world, working the world. What, therefore, is this Gan? This Gan is exactly what we refer to it. What do we call that place where little kids go? Kindergarten. That's exactly what Gan Eden is, Gan Yeladim. That's exactly what it is. It's that place where you get that period, which is very critical. To have a period of safety and protection and naivete and all of that until you're ready to step out. So that the eating from the tree is not what causes him to have to be thrown out, but rather the sign that it's time for him to go.
But we don't need the story of Eve being tempted and eating, and that's the reason why everything got terrible and man had to work because...
Whoa. Who said terrible?
God's intention.
Who said terrible? Why are you saying terrible?
God punished.
Well, who said punished? Who said punished? You're reading something there that's not there. Okay. I'm looking at the Psukim. In the Psukim, you don't find the word punished.
Okay,
in the Psukim, you also don't find the word tempted.
But they were prohibited from eating from the tree.
He was prohibited from eating from the tree, right?
So why does God put the tree there?
Maybe that's exactly that's the point.
What?
So that they'll say no at some point.
That's exactly the point. You cannot have independence until there is that authority against which you stand up and say, I'm doing my own thing. That's what every kid goes through at some point
with
the parents.
I've always felt that God expected Adam and Eve, they were created to eat, to have knowledge,
No, but you have to be true to the Psukim. You have to start with the Psukim. There's a lot of different ways to read them, but you cannot avoid what the Psukim say. You can't avoid what the text says. You can have lots of different ways to interpret the text, but you can't avoid what the text says. The text says very clearly that God commanded not to eat from the tree. The text also, at no point, uses the words seduction. At no point uses Mechila to Milton. At no point does the text use the word sin. Just a second. Sin. At no point does the word text use the word punishment.
Correct.
At no point does the text use the word terrible. And therefore, what you're looking at is saying, oh, the ideal of existence was this kind of 60s commune running around frolicking and everything being taken care of for you. Just a second for you. And this harsh reality that we have is a punishment because of man's sin. I'm saying, maybe, it's what Sam is saying, but I'm very sympathetic to it, is turn it on its side and say, no, this is essentially man growing up and man moving from that naive, infantile state of naked, that doesn't mean anything, and everything's taken care of for me, and everything's beautiful, until saying, no, I'm standing up, I'm saying no, and that statement says, okay, now it's time for you to go to where you really need to go, which is a land that needs to be watered, and life that needs to be lived, and children that need to be raised, and all of that is painful and difficult, and that's how I created you.
And that makes sense.